Reiner Schaag from TSN joins us. Schaager back, Kasten just in, saying he's talked to a lot of NHL defensemen who claim right now McDavid is better than Crosby.
He said he's talked to a lot of players?
NHL defensemen, yes.
Oh, yeah, and that says McDavid is better than Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that NHL defensemen would be more in fear of McDavid coming down on them than Sid, for sure. I mean, off the rush, what he's capable of, how fast his hands are, his breakaway speed. Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me. But, you know, and we talked about it this morning on the morning show. Like, the question that I asked the guys, and I guess I'll ask it to you, honestly, I'm not even sure what my answer is, but if you had a seven-game series, if you were heading into a seven-game series with this version of the Edmonton Oilers and you could swap out Sid for Connor, would you do it?
I'm only doing it for the playoffs, and then I get McDavid back?
Yeah, no, not for the – I'm just talking a series, one series. I mean, call it whatever you want. Call it the – whether it's the first round of the Stanley Cup final, but you can swap out Crosby for McDavid. Would you do it right now in a playoff series with
that's
this
a real,
version of the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. My temptation is to say no because – of, I haven't seen McDavid in the playoffs yet. And
I
don't know what will happen when he has the opportunity. And because everybody says, well, you know, the other team gets to face him and so they'll know his tendencies. Yeah, well, he'll know their tendencies too. So that to me would be intriguing. So the unknown always intrigues me. So I'm going to go with the unknown and I'll say McDavid.
Right. But I mean, so this is the thing is, and I know Bob's list is kind of what sparked this. And what did he have? Seven coaches that said they thought Connor was the best player in the world. And, you know, Sid has experience that Connor doesn't have. So it's kind of situational. Like, if Connor were to play his first NHL playoff series, if everything ramped up and at 20 years old, he was fairly quiet and wasn't a smashing success or needed to maybe quiet the first few games until he figured some stuff out, till he got used to how close checking it was. I mean, there'll be a bunch of Oilers figuring this out for the first time. But if the story of his first playoff is, yeah, he was a little bit quiet, that wouldn't be shocking or the end of the world. I mean, young players and star players need to figure things out. Well, Sid has already fought those battles. He's already been through that. He's already played on every stage you can play on and figured out how to produce on those stages. So from an experience standpoint, you probably have to lean towards Crosby in being able to bring his highest level more consistently because he's been there and he knows how to do it. Now, just any given game, one game, I don't know who you take because Connor, when he's on, is probably better than anybody else in the world. So It's an interesting dynamic. I love the fact that Crosby's not just handing this mantle over. I mean, his points per game this year and the rate at which he's putting up points is phenomenal. It's fantastic. And I think you probably still have to give him the nod as best player in the world for right now with Sid really nipping at his heels. And by the way, 20 goals and 50 points out of Brent Burns has him in the conversation, too.
Oh, no, he's been very good. What's interesting about Crosby is last year in the playoffs, they won the Stanley Cup. He had 6 goals in 24 games. His first year in the playoffs, he had 3 goals in 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know what? Sometimes experience is one thing for sure. But, you know, that youthful excitement and, you know, guys coming on, it would be very interesting to see. And Oilers fans are just excited the fact that there's even a conversation of McDavid making the playoffs this year because there are lots of numbers. Ryan, I was crunching some numbers. I have an article coming out in the Edmonton Journal, and I kind of stumbled into it, to be completely honest, when I was looking at things. It started out where people look at success. And the Edmonton Oilers, in their career, in their franchise history, right now they're on pace for 43 wins. So they've only won 41-plus games 9 times in 36 seasons. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They're on pace for 43. They would have, if they could win 42 games this year, that'd be the most wins they've had in the regular season since 1988.
So it could be a top 10 season in franchise history here is what you're talking about.
Well, it could be top 8, really, when you think about it, because the 2 years in 2006 and 2008, they had 41 wins both seasons, right?
Yeah.
And then the other ones, there was 44, and the 1 year they had 59, ridiculous. But The Oilers right now, for them to say they get 16 wins in their final 33 games would actually be below the pace they're at right now, so it wouldn't be asking for much, and that would be the most wins they've had since 1988.
Yeah. Yeah, they've definitely, I mean, the distance they've brought it around from last season is what kind of, what boggles my mind a little bit, just how far they've brought it, because, I mean, they were bad last year, and yes, they were without Connor for most of the year, but man, they were, so for them to have turned it around and to have consistently brought this level of play and to be on the kind of pace they're on, I mean, that's a dramatic turnaround in one season, and it's, we've seen other teams make dramatic turnarounds in one season, but they generally haven't really seemed that sustainable. So Colorado had their big turnaround year, and that wasn't really sustainable. You know, other teams have gone for stretches. The Flames are on a stretch for a while. Like, we've seen other teams, but it's just, it's not necessarily sustainable. Assuming everybody stays healthy, I just don't see anything that's not sustainable that's happening with the Oilers right now. Most of it feels like it is not any, but it's not smoke and mirrors, it's not statistical anomalies, it's none of that. It's actually pretty legit. And but the distance they've brought it around from last year is pretty impressive to me. And I think it really puts an exclamation point on the statements that we made a lot of last season, which was how bad the decor was and how badly it needed to be improved and how difficult it was to judge anything else while the blue line was as bad as it was.
Yeah, no, it has not been very good at all. Johnny Gaudreau got rocked last night, clean hit in my opinion, but that was maybe a little bit different. That he's taken a lot of abuse this year and has yet to stand up for himself. And I'm not talking dropping the gloves because I wouldn't expect him to drop the gloves, but I think he's got to watch some film on Patrick Kane and find ways to just get a little bit more space or slow guys down from hacking and whacking them all over the place, because this year, more than ever, that guy's just getting abused.
Yeah, no, he is. And, I mean, players need to get a handle on this. They need to figure out whatever it is they need to do to get themselves a little bit of space. And whether it's wasting one and getting your stick up now and then, sending a message around that if people are going to come at you, they might be eating stick, they're spitting teeth out. I mean, sometimes, and that's a little bit more old school thinking. But he does need to get it figured out. I remember when Jeff Skinner came into the league, he was such a good young player. And I think he had a real nice goal total his rookie season. But a young, skilled player that was fairly slight in the early days of his NHL career. And he got hammered all the time, too. And he ended up with some concussion issues and has never really been able to be the same type of player that he was back then. So, yeah, I agree with you. Gaudreau is not, he's not a guy that's going to fight. He's not a guy that's going to get in people's faces. But he needs to figure out how to bring a little bit of nasty and create a little bit of space for himself by maybe being a little bit vicious. And I don't know where you can learn that. I mean, like you said, Patrick Kane has made a living doing it. But if you're the Flames, you want to see some of that coming into his game. Like, I don't know if you notice or not, but Connor McDavid has a lot more self-preservation in his game this year than he did last year. And I'm not saying he's wimping out on plays or anything like that, because he's not. But what Connor has figured out and what Connor is doing this year is, let's say his winger dumps the puck into the far corner and Connor is chasing with the defenseman into the corner. Connor's fast enough to win that race every time and get to the puck first. But he knows if he does, he's just going to get hammered or crunched. So Connor is not trying to be first to the puck every time with reckless abandon, as conventional hockey doctrine would tell you he should be. Instead, what Connor's doing is he's engaging the player really early on. He'll get inside body position and then kind of lean back and allow the contact to happen up against the boards and then try and outbattle the player. Like, Connor will not race into a corner after a puck when he sees the guy coming. He won't put himself in positions to get blown up. And I think his injury last year had a lot to do with that, because I hadn't seen him doing that at any other stage that I've covered him. So there's some self-preservation in his game right now, and I don't mind it, and I don't think Todd minds it, and I don't think it's a sign of weakness. I think it's a sign of being smart and learning.
The other element of McDavid's game is his fierce competitiveness.
Yep.
And he's got a little bit of an edge on and off the ice. And to me, one of the plays that kind of stood out, it was late in the game. The Oilers were blowing him out. And Tkachuk, who's a little bit of a cheap shot artist here and there, it's slew foot now, two of them this season, one against Davidson, one against Marinson, has a hit on Draisaitl. And McDavid just doesn't go in quickly. He goes in attacking after Tkachuk. And not to fight. I don't think there was any intentions ever there. But I'll tell you right now, teammates love seeing that every player, like, guys will defend McDavid at a heartbeat. They love the fact that he's willing to do the same.
Well, yeah, and what it'll do is it sends the message that it doesn't matter who you are in that lineup or whether you've ever fought before or whether you can, that's the expectation. That's now the expectation. Nobody in that lineup is not responsible for standing up for teammates and being there for one another. Now, nobody's going to fear McDavid, and that hit's still getting thrown next game. But it's more of what it does for the Oilers as a group. As a group, when you stand up for one another, when you step in for one another, when you have each other's backs, you're just more cohesive. And when more guys are willing to do it and step outside their comfort zone and do those things, you're a more cohesive unit. You're a tighter group. And when you get into a playoff series, that cohesion will help. And so Connor sets that standard. He steps in. I mean, I still think Tkachuk should have just thrown his gloves off and not necessarily start dummying him. But I mean, at that point, you got the best player, one of the best players in the world staring at you, and he came at you, get him off the ice, like coincidentals, whatever you got to do. Throw your gloves off and engage him. And Connor's probably lucky that Tkachuk didn't do that. But he stepped up and he stood in there, and now that's the standard for the rest of his team, and that's the way it should be. And I was impressed to see that too.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins the Schaug Report, brought to you by.
Would you agree with that? Sorry, go ahead. Do the sponsorship. Sorry.
Yeah, no, by Owl City. Yeah, no, I would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah,
just about Tkachuk though, and if you're Tkachuk and McDavid stepping up to you, don't you think you just throw the gloves off and grab them and engage and see if you can get them off the ice?
Yeah. I don't. I think Tkachuk is a smart, dirty player.
Right.
It was also, at the timing of the game when it happened, probably if that's the first period in the first 5 minutes, maybe a little bit different. But, I think Tkachuk's somebody who played against McDavid in the OHL, respects him as a player. So, but also recognizes that if I throw punches at Connor McDavid,
I'll probably get jumped
every time next year against a bigger, tougher Edmonton team. And I don't think he's willing to do that.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. He's still a young player and he doesn't want to circle a date with Milan Lucic on his calendar anytime soon. So that's a fair enough point. But, I agree with you that Tkachuk is going to need, and Speck had a good tweet about the slew footing and how he would expect a Giordano or somebody to have a chat with them about what is and isn't okay to be doing regularly. So I agree with your point there on him, but you love that aggressive character in the Battle of Alberta, and it's only going to get better as he gets older and stronger and more confident. And you love the fact that Connor McDavid will stand in there against a guy that is probably stronger and more robust and will say, nope, not letting you get away with that. I'm going to stand here and challenge you. And it's just a positive thing.
And one last one for you is the Oilers now take on Anaheim and San Jose. And it's the season doesn't make or break here in the next 48 hours for this team. But it'll be a good test for them coming off three games. The Anaheim one, to me, right now, I honestly think Anaheim's a more beatable team than San Jose. What do you think?
I think they probably are too. San Jose is a tough test for Edmonton. There's no question. I think those players get up for the game. I think the way that San Jose team is built, that the Joe Pavelskis and the Brent Burns and the Logan Couture's of the world get their snarl up a little bit when the quote unquote best young players in the world come through. I think they feel they're a group of the best young players in the world, at least Couture anyways, being a little bit, he's not necessarily a young player, but in his mid-20s. So I think they take an Edmonton team, that challenge, really fiercely, and their old coach and all those sorts of things. So I definitely think of the two, San Jose ends up being the stiffer test, because when they bring their best game, they're as good as anybody. And Brent Burns is just out of this world right now. But what a great challenge for the Oilers, because they're going in there rested. and it's not an easy schedule, but they got rest heading in, they got rest coming out. I'd expect Talbot to play both games, and they're rested. And what a great challenge to take on the two teams they're battling with for top spot in the division.
Shocker, we'll talk about the Ducks and the Oilers specifically tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, have a good night, bud.